Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
The U.S. Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, has previously warned you, the postal customer, to get used to uncomfortable rate hikes as the Postal Service seeks to become self-sufficient. Now, no one supports the USPS more than me and more than this show. I've wanted to become Postmaster General for a lot of years until I realized what you needed to be on was on the Board of Governors. But either way, I'd like to be a part of the Postal Service. They're trying to become self-sufficient. Now, he said that price increases were overdue after the last 10 years of defective pricing models. So, they have signaled plans for a rate increase that includes hiking the cost of a first-class stamp from 68 cents to 73 cents. That's part of an overall 7.8% increase that's going to take effect this summer. Well, it's supposed to take effect this summer. The request was made to the Postal Regulatory Commission, which must approve the proposed increase that the Postal Service contends. That's what you need to be a part of the Postal Regulatory Commission and on the Board of Governors. So if approved, the 5-cent increase for a forever stamp and similar increases for postcards, metered letters, and international mail would take effect July 14th. So there will be no price increase for post office box rentals, and postal insurance will be reduced by 10% when items are mailed. So, I mean, it's a give and take kind of thing. Am I right? Welcome. It'll be a dollar soon. It'll just be a dollar for the real stamp soon. And you know what? Get used to uncomfortable. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. The number of anything that is 24 hours now is, it's not certainly not as much as it was pre-pandemic, and especially restaurants. So according to this, restaurants offering 24-hour service fell 18% from 2020 to 2024. That's according to Yelp data. New York lost 13% of its 24-hour restaurants. Los Angeles lost 35% of its 24-hour eateries. And Chicago lost 10%. Now, of course, I get it. It's due to, the pandemic, cost of goods, cost of employees. The places are concerned or, if not worried, about crime. That's all playing a factor. Some are trying, though. Breakfast-based chains are rebounding somewhat. Around half of the IHOP's 1,800 locations are back to being open 24 hours on Friday and Saturday. And Denny's is saying that about 75% of their 1,600 restaurants are open 24 hours again. Now, I want to make sure that's right, because around half of IHOP's 1,800 locations are back. Okay, so 900 locations are open Friday and Saturday 24. And at least 75% of Denny's 1,600 restaurants are open 24 hours again. Wow, with no restrictions on days. Pretty incredible. Food increases. If you look at food increases from 2020, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which I don't know that I buy their labor statistics, but this is what's being reported. They say food costs have increased 25%. Since March of 2020. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm paying more than that for food, but I know. What do I know? And of course, wages are more. They've increased, according to the BLS, by 29%. And they say that there's 1 million unfilled positions. So they can't find people to do the job. Okay. All right. The good news is, though, and you can, some of you may chuckle. I am not. I want to thank them, because at least all of the Waffle Houses, that's nearly 2,000 restaurants, running 24/7. nice. You know, one thing that's not nice is, and I guess we knew it was coming because of all the talk of bird flu and we're killing animals, and now the bird flu has jumped to animals, now it's jumped to humans. But now we have experts telling us, you know, you should stay away from some types of food because there's a slight chance that, you know, you get bird flu. Wait, what? I thought those risks were low, if nothing. No. The FDA, or he's a former FDA food safety advisor, Dr. Darwin Detweiler, and I'm Doc. I would love to, man, I've spent some time with you. He said animal products that are not properly cooked could harbor small fragments of the virus, which is currently tearing through U.S. farms. That means steaks should be cooked well done and eggs with runny yolks should be avoided. Even salad dressings like Caesar can be a risk due to being made with raw eggs. The H5N1 bird flu strain has caused outbreaks, yeah, in over a dozen farms in the U.S. and cattle, chickens, humans. It doesn't say that in the story. Huh. Interesting. But eggs, poultry, and beef have to be cooked to a safe internal temperature because cooking is the kill step. Thank you. So just remember, do not, man, if you go someplace and they say, hey, would you like a steak? And you say, yeah, I would. Thank you. But if it's not well done, don't eat it. I can guarantee you that's not happening with me. If it's well done, I'm going to eat it, but I mean, I prefer it not well done. So Caesar salad, Caesar dressing, it's rare that I have a Caesar salad. I know that comes as a surprise, but, you know, I do like it. I do enjoy it from time to time. If it has a lot of, breadcrumbs, I like those. Maybe it's not the salad I like. Maybe it's the breadcrumbs. Anyway, and eggs. Yeah, I mean, we're dipping our toast in eggs. Sorry, that's what happens. So I don't know what the runniness addition is that gets you to bird flu or non-bird flu, but I'm dipping my toast in my yolk, okay? So whatever you got to do to figure out this whole bird flu thing, figure it out. Look, we did. My gosh, if we're already just being, it's just a, you know, we ought to take a look at this. We ought to be careful. It's just I'm a former FDA guy. I'm not telling you what to do, but we just need to, you know, you should be careful, make sure, because it's possible little remnants of bird flu could be in that. Well, I mean, that means that it is, right? It means that it is. And my gosh, something has to be done. You can quote me on that. Something has to be done. But I'm not going to eat cicadas. I'm not going to eat crickets. I mean, if we've got 100 trillion cicadas showing up here soon, cicada-geddon. I'm surprised that we're saying, oh, they just come out and mate and then they go back underground. No, we need to catch them so that we can harvest them. That's what's coming. Let's say you don't want to drive around to nurseries and big gardening centers. You just want to, I don't know, have some plants and shrubbery and trees show up at your house. You can do that. You got a fast-growing trees. You can order it online and they shipped right to your door in 1 to 2 days. Fast-growing trees, the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., of which I am one. They have everything you could possibly want, fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. You can find the perfect fit for your climate and space. You know, wherever you live, there may be a plant or a shrub or a tree that fast-growing tree experts say, yeah, you know, that's going to die where you're at. Maybe you ought to try this. That's what's so cool about it. So it makes it easy to order online. You just order them, and they're shipped directly to your door, 1 to 2 days, along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever, which is really cool. And I will say, I enjoy, I ordered some shrubbery. I needed some new shrubbery because they all died. And I said, I need some new stuff. And I went to fastgrowingtrees.com and looked at what's perfect for, you know, my area, my climate. And, you know, I ordered them and they are at the front door. It is awesome. I didn't have to go to walk through a nursery. I didn't have to listen to some dingleberry at a big box store. I just have Fast Growing Trees to deal with, and they are at the house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. So listeners to this show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the offer code Jeffy at checkout. It's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Jeffy at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Jeffy. The offer, of course, is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Jeffy. So I mentioned cicada getting coming to the southeast and the northeast, and hopefully it doesn't spread any farther. But I was reading, of course, because of cicada getting, and I was reading that they are the strongest urinators in the animal kingdom. I did not know that. They have flows that put humans and elephants to shame, according to the experts. They have pumps in their heads that pull moisture from the roots of trees. You can write your own jokes. Allowing them to feed for more than a decade underground. And I guess they are rescuers to caterpillars as well. So they're being ravaged also by, we did know this. This has been reported on here on Chewing the Fat. They are being ravaged by a sexually transmitted disease that turns them into zombies, right? They get an STD, a zombie cicada. And you don't want none of that. You do not want one of that, man. The walking dead cicada. And it's not easy. So they have pumps in their head. I know. So inside trees are sugary, nutrient-heavy saps that flow through tissue called phloem, P-H-L-O-E-M.
Phloem.
Yeah, that's what I said. Phloem.
Phloem.
I got it, okay? P-H-L-O-E-M. Now, most insects love the sap, but not cicadas. They go for a tissue called xylem?
Xylem.
Yeah, that's what I said. X-Y-L-E-M, which carries mostly water and a bit of nutrients. And it's not easy to get into the
xylem.
Okay. All right. I said it correct. I don't know why you keep wanting to come in and butt in. The cicada can get the fluid because its outsized head has a pump. Okay. There you go. So just hope that they don't get STDs and turn into a zombie cicada. And this is what's happening around Mother Nature every day. And is part of cicada getting. When you are in the middle of cicada getting and you see liquid flowing down a tree, yeah, that's a cicada pee. They have a muscle that pushes the waste through a tiny hole like a jet. And the locals call it a weeping tree because liquid was flowing down like the plant was crying. Well, it was crying. It was crying with cicada pee. So just know during cicada getting, when you run across a tree that's covered in some kind of wetness. Yeah, ooh, that's not sap. That is cicada pee. So maybe you don't, I don't know, put your hand on it. Maybe you don't rub your finger across it and lick it. I don't know. Maybe you just leave it be. Actually, that you can quote me on that. Maybe you just let it be. That could be a t-shirt too. Maybe just let it be. You know, I said yesterday we could have made a fortune if I would have actually been thinking. We could have sold t-shirts. I survived the solar eclipse 2024. And you had them out there already. We could have made a fortune. Too late now. I mean, it's over. Done. Everybody's done it. Somebody's made a fortune from it. So, I mean, I guess you could sell a couple, make a couple of bucks. I'd see where a shop in New York, and I bet you this shop actually had I Survived the Solar Eclipse 2024 because they sold t-shirts immediately after the earthquake that said, I survived the earthquake. I survived the earthquake 2024, and they made a fortune. Well, actually, they didn't make a fortune, but they made thousands of dollars for this t-shirt. What a great idea. I survived the NYC earthquake with the skyline and the date and a couple of epicenter circles. Great idea. And they sold, you know, 1,000 earthquake shirts in less than a day. And they said that the revenue was like $9,800. So they weren't even selling them for $10 a pop. Okay. If you say so. Anyway, you could, we need to just maybe just let it be. That's my new t-shirt. And I survived the solar eclipse 2024. Those t-shirts have already been sold. So go use my million-dollar ideas. You're welcome. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. You know, if you're someone who made a fortune using my idea for t-shirts, you may think to yourself, you know what? I've made so much money. I need to move. Well, if you need to move, and you're either going to, then you're going to try to buy a home and you're going to try to sell the old one, you're going to discover that you've got a major undertaking on your hands. And almost nothing about getting a house ready to put on the market is easy, but you need to do it. So you need to do it the right way. And negotiating a sale when you're wanting to buy, it's not as straightforward as it sounds. And plus, you're trying to come up with t-shirt ideas at the same time. You're going to want to see the best real estate agent you can. And that's where Real Estate Agents I Trust come in. It's a company founded by Glenn. And he started it because, you know, he's trying to sell his house in Connecticut, and the story is fascinating. And, you know, it's just, he tried to sell his house. He had multiple real estate agents tell him, yeah, we'll get this thing sold. And it never sold. They couldn't sell it. It ended up selling for, I don't know, under $40. It was just incredible. It was a really bad deal. A really bad deal for everyone. And he had such a struggle finding a real estate agent worth their salt. He said, man, this can't be real, right? I mean, if I'm having this problem, everyone must be having this problem, which is why he came up with Real Estate Agents I Trust. They pair you with the top sellers in your area, the people who really know the ropes of the business, because they do it full time and they care about getting it right. So realestateagentsitrust.com. All the hassle that comes with trying to buy and sell homes, they've got you covered. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Remember to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, ChewingTheFatAtTheBlaze.com. You can always email the show 24/7. That's how the internet works. ChewingTheFatAtTheBlaze.com. Did you see where Sylvester Stallone? That guy, that bastard, Sylvester Stallone, is in a little bit of a trouble. Yeah, I know. Apparently, he's saying some bad things on the set. I know. Apparently, he is fostering a toxic environment. Oh, no. Oh, no. So they're filming the new Tulsa King in Atlanta. Now, the original one, I don't know if you know this, it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that's where they filmed the first season. But it's TV, and you don't really have to. It's pretend. So you can film and say you're someplace when you're really not. That's the way it works. So anyway, they're filming in Atlanta. And Sly is 77 now. And apparently he made some offensive and abusive remarks. Now, let's be clear about something. He's Sylvester Stallone. Okay? He's the star of the show. He is a Hollywood icon. Okay? So, get over it. But apparently, the casting supervisor, Rose Locke, she is unhappy. She posted to a private Facebook group for background actors, which someone captured a screenshot and shared it. It was shared by Star Trek Prodigy writer Julie Benson, and I love her. And she is well known on the Charleston, South Carolina background actors crew page. Yeah, I mean, she's huge on the Charleston, South Carolina background actors crew page. So he and the director proceeded to call certain people terrible names and laughed at them. Now, is this true? I don't know. Apparently, he called somebody Tubbalard, fat guy with a cane. I want to be clear, I've been called all these on this very network. he was making fun of their weight and handicaps, read one such screenshot, noting that Locke resigned as a result of the alleged mistreatment. Now, she wasn't mistreated. It was her background people that she hired that apparently felt mistreated because the director and executive producer Craig Zisk and Sly were on the set, and he was apparently upset about the background actors on the show. Now, Locke confirmed that she resigned because it was clear toxic environment. I was not comfortable putting myself or my background artists in. Oh. Oh, okay. He said the scene in question called for background actors aged 25 to 35, but significantly older extras were brought in. Now, they were polite and did their jobs, but they need to submit some headshots going forward. And we need to up your game a little bit because we are unhappy with the background actors. So that's the kind of toxic environment that's going on the set of Tulsa King. And just to be clear, Zisk said, yeah, that didn't happen. All right. Sorry about that. And Stallone was his representative. Has not commented on this because it's silly. And so if you are not giving the set, if you're not giving the show the background people they're asking for, you shouldn't have quit. You should have been fired. That's the toxic environment. But I digress. We talk about Taylor Sheridan because that's a Tulsa King show. Well, I mean, I wasn't talking about Taylor Sheridan, but the Tulsa King is a Taylor Sheridan show. Did we talk about the actual date of Yellowstone coming back? So apparently, November 10th, 2024, we get the fifth season's part two, started beginning November 10th, 2024. The last show, Yellowstone season five, part one, premiered November 14th, 2022. So it's been a long, long time. Too long. And John Dutton is not going to be there. So I asked the question, does anybody care? And then I think to myself, well, I'll watch it. I mean, I do want to see how Taylor wraps it all up, but I'm bummed that John Dutton is not going to be there. I am bummed about that, but yes, I will watch it. Congratulations are in order as well to Dude Perfect. If you do not know who Dude Perfect is, they are creating content on YouTube, and they just were given $100 million to make more and build more core programming. So they're going to be pursuing bold new opportunities and products. Yeah, no kidding. Beyond traditional channels. Yeah, you think for $100 million you can create some content. And good for them. Congratulations to them. I guess this company, High Mount Capital. Dear High Mount Capital, my name is Jeff Fisher. This show is Chewing the Fat. I, too, would like to have a significant expansion on my programming. And I'd love to expand the core programming of this show. So if you want to, I don't know, drop in 100 million? No? 50 million? No? 25 million? Okay. We'll settle on 25 million. I'm here for you. But congratulations to Dude Perfect and their new $100 million deal. You know, speaking of making a lot of money, have you ever wondered exactly how it is that our politicians enter into public service making moderate salaries and then end up walking away with an astonishing amount of money? And it is interesting how that happens, isn't it? Where all these tens of millions of dollars are coming from, huh? And while they're busy earning all that money, who's doing the job we sent them there to do in the first place? That's funny. That is funny. You know, we all learned from an early age that the best way to get rich in America was to get a degree, start a business, maybe take a job in Wall Street, work hard, and save even harder so that we could make a better life for ourselves and for our children. Turns out, it's way easier than that. All you have to do is get elected to Congress. Join us tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, for a live pre-show event hosted by Glenn Beck and James Poulos, followed by a live premiere of Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, streaming live on YouTube and Blaze TV. You can head over to youtube.com/@BlazeTV to watch the live event. Subscribers can just watch it on Blaze TV. And if you're not a subscriber to Blaze TV, sure, you can watch it on the whole youtube.com/@BlazeTV thing. But why don't you go to blazetv.com/Jeffy and subscribe to Blaze TV and use the promo code Jeffy and knock some money off that year's subscription and become a member of Blaze TV. That's one way that helps keep this podcast free. blazetv.com/Jeffy, promo code Jeffy. However, tonight, if you want to watch Bought and Paid For and the live pre-show hosted by Glenn and James, you can go to youtube.com/@BlazeTV. Who died today? Who died today? Nobel Prize winning physicist Peter Higgs has died at the age of 94. Now, it says here that he died following a short illness. I'm sure it wasn't that. If it was that, they would have said something. Right? Of course, it was just a short illness, and he's 94, so he died. He was a professor at Edinburgh, is known for discovering the Higgs boson subatomic particle, known colloquially as the God particle. He's the guy. In 1965, Higgs theorized the existence of an energy field and an accompanying chargeless particle that gives other particles their mass and exists throughout the universe. For decades, physicists relied on the particle's existence to help explain quantum phenomena, but could not detect it, leading one scientist to call it the goddamn particle. So they apparently in 2012 they actually detected the Higgs boson for the first time, validating the Higgs theory. So today the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, which operates the LHC, continues to probe the foundations of particle theory, including a search for never-before-seen ghost particles. So rest in peace, Peter Higgs, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist, dead at the age of 94. You know, interesting new research from the American Association for Cancer Research, the AACR. They had their annual meeting in San Diego, which I'm sure was beautiful. They talked about accelerated aging when someone's biological age is greater than their chronological age. That could increase the risk of cancer tumors. The realization that cancer and now aging are becoming significant issues for younger demographics over the past, what they say, decades was unexpected. Was it though? Was it really unexpected? Or have we, I don't know, seen a significant increase in the last, 4 years? Something like that. I haven't looked at the data specifically. I haven't, broken it down. I just seem to think that, maybe it isn't just someone's accelerated aging, or what's the reason behind someone's accelerated aging. Could it be that? I'm sure they didn't look. I'm sure it can't be that, or they would have looked into it. That would have been part of the study, right? I mean, they would have looked into that because that's something that would have accelerated cancer in the young. But no. Each person's biological age, using 9 biomarkers in the blood, and then they compared that to their chronological age. And those with higher biological age had 42% increased risk of early onset lung cancer. 22% were prone to early onset gastrointestinal cancer. Never fun. And none of them are actually fun. And 36% higher risk of early onset uterine cancer. Yeah, I don't want that. I do not want that. The researchers also determined that people born after 1965 were 17% more likely to experience accelerated aging than those born in earlier decades. How can that be? We see photos all the time of people that were born, in the 50s or the 40s or the 30s, and they look ancient. And our people in today's world look years younger. Years younger than you do. You look at pictures of your grandfather and tell me, yeah, he was 20. He looks like he's 50. Are you kidding me? That could not be. I do not buy that. I don't know. Now, maybe if we're sitting down and looking at it for real, maybe our chronological age is decelerating, but our aging process accelerating. I don't know. It just seems weird. Everyone, and I know that it could be the filters on my Instagram account, but I know that everyone looks younger than they did years ago. I'm sorry, I don't necessarily believe that. But hey, you keep researching there, AACR, and you let me know. And let me know if it's that or if it isn't that that's, you know, increased some of the risk of cancer tumors in the young, okay? Be sure to look at that. I'm sure you will at some point. Plus, we're finding out now that semaglutide is helping with heart disease. I know. I like the way that sounds a lot. Now, the headline claims that the key ingredient in, well, semaglutide is the key ingredient in Ozempic and Wegovy, has been shown to reduce symptoms of and physical limitations in patients with a common type of heart failure. So all I have to do is take some Ozempic or Wegovy or just maybe some generic off the street corner semaglutide, and that's going to help my heart disease? Why, yes. St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute, and man, I am a fan of St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute. They announced results from the STEP HFPEFDM trial showing that compared with placebo, once weekly semaglutide 2.4 milligram produced greater reductions in heart failure related symptoms and physical limitations, improved exercise function, and led to greater weight loss in adults with heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, HFPEF, and type 2 diabetes. The findings were presented at the American College of Cardiology. I can't even say it. Where was it? They presented it at some HARP thing. I haven't got my American College of Cardiology scientific session in yet, but they presented it there. And soon, I guess it'll be up at the New England Journal of Medicine. And all I know is, you know what? Just give me some Ozempic, and I think I'll be good. All right, let's get out of here. I'll leave you with a joke of the day. All right. This is also another, this is awful like a hint of the day as well, a helpful hint of the day, joke, helpful hint of the day. So you're riding a horse full speed and there's a giraffe next to you and a lion chasing you. What do you do? You get your drunk ass off the carousel. Think about it.
And subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.